plate a potential nugget.
Moving on, you know, one of the pieces I want to explore was as the organization starts scaling up, you know, startups need to attract, you know, experienced talent from the outside. And often we find a situation where a young founder needs to lead an individual who's spent several years in the corporate world and probably even from an age standpoint, a decade or so or more elder to him or her. What have you seen around making this dynamic work, you know, in terms from both perspectives, from an incoming leader's perspective and from a founder's perspective? Can you talk a little bit about getting this transition right and, you know, successfully integrating people from the external world with much more experience?
So, yeah, I think it's absolutely important to get this hiring right. Because, you know, assimilation of these external hires and their collaborative working with the homegrown rock stars is very critical for success in the next stage of the journey. So I think the starting point is about getting the hiring right. At a very high level, I think one component is very important, which is, and that's a mistake that a lot of scale-ups make when they look for lateral hires. And that is the confusion between, you know, building for scale and having worked in a scale environment. So I think assuming that anybody who has worked in a large company who has seen scale can come and build for scale is wrong. I think building for scale is a completely different kettle of fish. It requires one to be very hands-on if required. It requires one to work without a lot of support from, you know, anyone else in the organization to be able to roll up sleeves, get things dirt, hands dirty, and get stuff done. I think that's very critical for earning the respect of the homegrown rock stars. Homegrown rock stars are very skeptical about leaders who can't get their hands dirty and who operate and advise at a 30,000 feet level. I think that is the biggest red flag that startups need to be aware of. They should not just be carried away by being very impressed with folks who have worked in a scale environment. So I think they should probe and figure out whether this individual can execute well, can get hands dirty and get things done, has not forgotten the basics of, you know, actually doing work rather than just supervising a bunch of people. So I think that's very critical. I think in terms of assimilating them after the hiring is done, the founders play a very important role. The hiring managers play a very important role. And often this breaks down. This assimilation process breaks down because of multiple things, and everybody has a role to play, I would say, the founders and the lateral hires included. I think if the founders continue to keep the communication lines open with the homegrown rock stars who are relatively junior and not engage sufficiently with the lateral hires and build trust with them, then I think things will begin to break down. So it's important for the founders to work very intensely with the lateral hires in the early stages, at least for a period of 30 days, get to know each other, help each other get comfortable. And, you know, then after that can begin to, you know, let the lateral hire work on his or her own. So I think the 30-day very, very active, intense working where they get to know each other better, build trust with one another is very critical. Where the founders are communicating the right messages to the homegrown rock stars, telling them the reason why they hired these lateral hires, the seasoned leaders, and why it's important for the homegrown rock stars to learn a new set of skills that can take them, you know, in the next stage of their career from these seasoned leaders. Communicating that to them, I think, is very, very critical. So I think the founders play an important role. And similarly, I think the seasoned leaders who come in from outside also have a role to play in their own success. I think, you know, they must respect the homegrown rock stars who brought this startup to where it is. I think they must also, you know, not overplay, you know, the fact that they worked in large organizations. They must display an ability to learn this business from first principles, ask a lot of questions, demonstrate a lot of humility, and at the same time, also demonstrate some capabilities for which they have been hired. If they are unable to demonstrate those capabilities for which they have been hired, then I think the homegrown rock stars will also begin to become suspicious. So I think the founders as well as the lateral hires both have a role to play.
Got it. Sanjeev, did you have any view, given that you've sort of been an investor in several situations, And given your personal experience at Daksh, any thoughts here?
One of the things, Deepak, that one can think along the lines of is what Hari and you were highlighting, how to think about hiring. And I would say break hiring into two components, hiring for values and hiring for capability. Now, hiring for capability, one can pretty much assess in the interview situation. But hiring for values is very hard to assess in an interview situation. So one, I think, one very important key to making this succeed is to make sure that you do extensive referencing on the candidate that you're bringing on board. And leaders should not delegate that referencing, because the input that you gather during the hiring stage is also very useful during the assimilation and development stage. So I think that's the only additional point I make, that hiring be broken into two elements and referencing be given disproportionate weightage, because values are very hard to gauge in an interview setting. And I'm sure at Egon Zehnder, you've seen this movie play out a lot more than we have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was recounting, you spoke about, you know, some of my colleagues, ex-colleagues, Rajiv, Vasudeva, and Sanjeev. One of the things they would always say is, never miss a step in the process. You know, in the search process, each step exists for a reason, and never ever miss the referencing process, because you'll be surprised by what sometimes comes up, you know. There have been a couple of situations where we were very close to, I personally was very close to an offer, and we discovered there was some harassment charges against that person. And we had to go back to the drawing board, and, you know, there's no way we could have discovered these things in a 45-minute posturing conversation. Very true. Got it. And maybe taking the other side, Sanjeev and Hari, for a senior leader who's at the cusp of making a transition into a startup, are there, how do they discern a culture from the outside? Because large organizations, often the word gets around, right? If it's a Tata Group or the Aditya Birla Group, generally there's a word out in the market. But if it's a startup, it's often hard to discern the let's say, the risk of it going wrong and understanding the culture. So any tactical thoughts on how leaders can de-risk it for themselves in the context of their career?
Hari, you would have probably seen this a lot more closely.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, Deepak, you know, by the time a startup is ready to hire a seasoned leader, it is not going to be very small. It will be reasonably big and reasonably well known in the ecosystem. So I think word invariably gets around about the culture at these startups. You know, all of us, you know, we know Ola, we know Big Basket, we know Flipkart. And, you know, the entire talent market has some sense of what the cultures in these companies are. It may not be a very nuanced understanding, but they have an understanding on parameters that really matter. So, for example, some companies are known to be very, very aggressive, and some companies are very soft. Some companies hold individuals very accountable, and if they don't deliver, they can let them go very easily. And some companies are, you know, more soft, give them more opportunities, far more collaborative, and less cutthroat, and give their people more chances. And on an extreme, some of them can also hide, you know, and remain non-performers for a very long time. So I think, and some companies are known to be friendly towards women, far more tolerant of diversity in general, whereas some companies have a bro culture where they're not open to really diverse, you know, kind of individuals. So I think word does get around, and people have a sense of, you know, what will work for them. Having said that, I think many individuals are capable of making multiple cultures work for them, and they are able to adapt. I don't know what percentage are able to easily adapt and what percentage, you know, have to necessarily look for the perfect culture fit. But I think many people end up being able to adapt to different cultures. Because all of us in some ways are very adaptable, unless there is something which is very, very core, which goes against the grain of our values and personality, many individuals end up being able to adapt.
In addition to what Sanjeev and Hari say, I would emphasize on a couple of things. First, position the incoming leader well. Very often I find that the hiring manager gets a heavy hitter for the right set of reasons, but often doesn't communicate some of the reasons why a certain leader is being brought in. Especially when the incoming leader is from a different domain, the organization can have the tendency to judge the leader based on the inadequacies of the past experience, rather than focusing on some of the competencies or intrinsic potential elements they may bring. The second thing I would say is, treat it as a two-way transition. Very often, when a senior leader comes on board, a lot of people talk about the work that the incoming leader has to do to settle down. But I feel there's an equally important role played by the hirer. If this topic is of interest, I might suggest three resources of the podcast. First, you might like my conversation with Michael Watkins, one of the leading thinkers in the field of transition acceleration. Second, you might also like my conversation with R. Gopalakrishnan, who's written the book Crash, where he studies 15 high-profile transitions that went south and what we can learn from them. Finally, you might like the curated playlist, Settling into a New Context, where leaders across backgrounds talk about how they settled into a new environment. You can visit playtopotential.com and either go to the guest section to access the two conversations with Michael Watkins or R. Gopalakrishnan, or go to the curated playlist section where you can find the playlist Settling into a New Context.